Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is the 24th.
Yeah, you're right. I got it. My man.
Only reason I knew that is because, you know, we got this, the Grammys in New York for those listening. Some events started tonight, I guess.
Softly started tonight.
Tomorrow's really like, it's lit till Sunday. And there's an event that, actually, all three of us are going to be, and I'm going to be there tomorrow too. Essence Magazine has a Woman in Music event tomorrow and honoring Missy. I'm going to go with her, and obviously Sean and Mona will be there as well. And then you'll be there because you're a woman in music.
Because I'm a woman in music.
And so we'll all be hanging out there tomorrow. Anyway, that's the only reason I knew the date, because I know that's the 25th. Because that's been drilled in my head by certain people that I need to be there. But anyway, how y'all doing?
I'm just waiting for God to see fit to let my sinuses drain, because I haven't been able to breathe good in a week.
You got the humidifier in the crib?
You know what? I haven't turned it on yet. That's the problem. Yeah. But that plus when it really got bad was when I flew out to LA for those 2 days last week. So I think the change in weather plus the flight.
How was the weather out there?
It was nice. I mean, it wasn't blazing hot, but it was comfortable.
Yeah, it was cool.
And it was also just a little bit humid. I just wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Like, it had been so cold here for so long, even though it wasn't terrible, like, when last week when I left, I really just wasn't, I just wasn't ready. And, I mean, if you guys have been listening, you probably know, like, I think I've talked about it before. I have sinus issues all the time. I have chronic sinus issues.
So
like,
you snore?
I don't, unless I'm really, really tired. Actually,
but you ain't one of them, like, need a breath strip.
No, I'm not that. I'm not on some sleep apnea shit. I'm always some level of congested. Like, I almost never can just, like, completely smell everything. So, and I never know what it is. I never know if it's a cold, if it's just sinusitis, if it's and then I've developed allergies over the past couple of years, so I just be taking whatever.
Mad drugs.
So, nothing's been working this time, and it's just been like this awful pressure and headache. So I actually probably need to go see my ENT. But yeah, that's been my life for the past week. It's just I can't fucking breathe, and it's bad. It's awful.
How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, same old shit.
Same old, right?
Yeah, you know,
motherfucker.
Send me some money.
yeah, nigga.
Drop me off,
nigga. The emails you've been.
Yo, peace. To those niggas.
Niggas, you don't... Now, by the way, you don't know now one of these niggas from a can of paint.
Yo, just real quick, man. Like, for some reason now, social media has given way to this new wave of hustling. And I'm using air quotes when I say hustling, right? Which is basically like, yo, I'ma just ask people for money.
And see who comes up off some shit.
Yeah, like the shit is like mind-blowing to me, dude.
Amazing.
Like, to see people send you a message to ask, yo, dude legitimately sent a DM saying, hey, man, I got $37,000 in school loans.
Could you hook me up?
Can you help me pay for this?
Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Nothing about you is like, let me DM this nigga.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
let me DM Sean after he posts his picture of his cigar in the truck.
Send me your cash app.
Ask this nigga to pay my school loans.
Like, which
picture made him think you gonna pay his loans? You at the gym?
Like, nigga.
You
like,
with the cigar? You with the other cigar?
First of all, nigga, I got a boy in college.
Right. Nigga.
And a young gal on the way.
What
are you talking about?
Yo, I was just, and you have fucking spelling errors in the email. So clearly, you didn't get that 37K worth, my nigga.
You ain't been in no college.
Yeah.
Right. I see that shit on the top. I see it on, like, a lot of, on Tumblr a lot. For the past couple of years, is some of the things people be like, me and my mom got burned out the house and anything.
Well, those are GoFundMe
things. Yeah. But they're like rampant. It's like, are people really,
they're all over
really sending money? I don't know you, fam. I mean, if you did happen to you, I'm sorry. But I'm not, right. I don't know you from a can of paint. I'm not cash apping you shit.
But you know what? All right. Dude should not have DM'd you. That was absolutely ridiculous because you were a stranger nigga. But, so there are some of the like creatives and entrepreneurs on
Twitter.
Yeah,
those are different.
That's not the same.
Who have things they need funding for. Yeah, they'll be like, I'm trying to go to school to keep, you know, these butters on the assembly line, or I'm completing my work to help me keep this activism going, or I'm doing whatever.
And that's a different animal.
Okay.
To me, that I get.
And there are people who want to support them. They're like, how can I support you?
Because you can look those people up and see it's legit.
Right. But also, too, I mean, asking for help in certain, like, to me, if you're asking for help because you just simply didn't prepare for some regular inevitable shit.
You knew you were taking loans out.
But wait, also, who the fuck don't got 37K in student loans?
Nigga.
Do you think you're supposed to come?
Special?
Yo.
Obama didn't pay his loans off until right before he took office. It might have been after he took office.
The nigga didn't even say, yo, can you send me $100?
Yeah.
No, like, the whole, you want me to give you the whole 37K,
you go to 37.
Like, where you wire your info, nigga? Like, what are you talking about?
What's your PayPal?
Yo, it was what I realized is that, you know, like, listen, I'm not special. Clearly, he's sending that to multiple people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and whoever bites is the people who bite, right? But there's like that, and it's not just that. Like, it's this whole sort of new wave hustle. I got 7 clothing lines, and I got 19 barbershops, and nigga, why are you DMing me?
If you popping like that, then you good.
Then you good. Like, if you got all of that and all those revenue streams ain't working for you, I don't know what to tell you.
Exactly. So,
In
the words of my man, bring out Cub Scout.
Don't DM me this shit because you ain't getting shit. I was going to say something. It's kind of illegal.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
The views expressed by Jeffrey Sledge reflective of the views of Sean.
Let me leave it alone because it's messy and it. Yeah. Nah, let me leave that alone. I'll tell y'all off air. Sorry, y'all. But I got one more thing. If you are backing up, I'm gonna open up a can of worms. I thought it through and I was like, I don't need to.
Yo, I got one more quick thing. I just want to give a shout to Jeff.
Come on, B.
I love him dearly.
Come on, man.
But we all talk about Jeff when he late to the show. We call him David Ruffin.
Yes.
What y'all don't
see is Jeffrey Sledge and we are the Pop Life Podcast.
What y'all don't is when Jeff comes in, he be bundled up
like a
little kid that be at the bus stop in the morning. I just found out Jeff is literally
2 blocks away.
Like, you could throw a pass from the office to the studio and hit a Target.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
be the last motherfucker here and be bundled up. And
yes. I was talking
about the mittens on with the fingers out one day. I was like,
oh yeah, I ain't wore those this year yet. I need to beat those out. I want to mention, I'll give a quick shout out to my man Star from Star and Buck Wild. He took over for Joe Budden.
Horrible decision.
I think I'm a little biased. I think it's a great decision. But we can discuss. Let's discuss. Let me get a shout out that we can discuss. So he took over Joe Budden on Everyday Struggle. This is his first week and 3 shows in. You know, he's who he is. I don't think they realize what they've done by giving him this opportunity. Right. He's going to take it and run with it. I'll cede the floor to you first. You tell me why you don't.
Because this tells me that the people at Complex, all they thought was, what other curmudgeon-y Negro can we get who's going to rile up the guests and give us that shock value like Joe and Charlamagne? And the only other motherfucker on the scene who's really in that vein.
Who started it, really, is
Star. But Star is how far removed from current rap culture right now?
Well, when you watch the show, he's very on it. He's on it.
No,
shit.
I mean, he might be on it. These niggas don't know who Star is.
No, the kids don't know.
Yeah, they don't know who
Star is.
They're
about to find out.
And also, when Star gets really loose, He is really loose. Complex gonna find themselves having trouble booking, like how Wendy used to have problem booking guests. That shit is coming.
Well,
because Star is that nigga.
I just want to say, I give that poor little young fella academics. I give him about. I said I give him about 2 months.
Star
I give him
to merciless.
About March. I give him to about March. He is not equipped to deal with a dude like Star
at all,
because the mind games and the fuckery that's going to take place.
So he started.
Day one.
Oh, day one, he wrecked academics.
Kid didn't know what. He
was like, what's going on?
He don't know what's getting ready to happen to him.
Right.
So bless his heart. I think it was, listen, I don't know what I always think in business of long-term, short-term.
Okay. Right?
So I don't know what their long-term goals are.
True.
Right? In the short term,
it's going
he is great for business, right? Because he is going to get clicks. He is going to get people tuned in. You will get those sort of little viral clips. Mm. You're going to get a ton of those. You're going to keep the same level, if not increase, with that you had with Joe. Mm. So understand that. But to Nas' point, is this a platform that you guys are looking to grow? Because that's not really going to be the type of guy that's going to be able to help that. When we say that Star is removed, I think what we tend to forget is that he's an old nigga.
Yeah.
As fuck.
He's a real
Star might be 60. Old
nigga. He's
like Star was
around
old.
The corner
Star
from 60.
Star was old when he was on the radio.
I think he's like 53, 54.
Star was old when he was on the radio 20 years ago.
Nigga, Star.
Star was Star a strong 40 from, on Hot 97.
And he's an old New York nigga.
Yeah. Right.
What I mean by old New York nigga is those dudes who were on the subway, who was rioting and during the blackout of 77.
Yeah. Like, Star's done a
he
bit.
Was damn near grown during the blackout, bro. Star might have caught a couch or something during the blackout, my nigga. Star's in 77.
Star's done a bit. Like, Star's done all that old New York and shit. And there's going to be no political correctness. Like, for all of Joe's fuckery and for all of Charmaine's fuckery, at the end of the day, they're not gonna fuck with their check, but so much. Star don't give.
He don't care,
and
I think he might be like one of the very few people that actually has a registered heroin.
He is. Apparently, there's
it's like 4% of the people get approved for that.
But he has one,
and he got one, dude.
Yeah.
So it's kind of gonna be a little awkward when you try that. I'm gonna run up on you,
and
shit.
He'd be like, what's good? He's pulled the shirt back. Like,
he's
what we
old.
Doing?
He's an old nigga. Yeah. He probably got a revolver. He probably ain't gonna miss. You know what I'm saying? So God bless.
Just, like Sean said, my thing is just like Complex. What's your long term? Because what it really looks like to me is that they tried to come as close to another Joe or Charlamagne personality as possible, and Star fits in that regard. Except, like I said, Joe and Charlamagne, to a certain point, like, some of it is play acting, some of it is real, but they walk a line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Star crosses the line. Like, for people who don't know who Star is, Star made jokes about Aaliyah's plane going down.
Yeah,
that
was one of the few arguments me and him ever had.
Yeah,
I was like,
dude,
you were dead.
I mean, and ran it for weeks. Like,
yeah, never really apologized.
Played
really.
Screaming noises on it. Like, it was insane.
He was doing things that was just, that were, his shtick doesn't fly.
Right.
And that's
anymore.
Why he's not on the radio.
Right. It doesn't work anymore.
It's not, it's why he doesn't get those big platforms. Now, I think Complex, you know, they have, this is weird for them, in my opinion, also, because they sort of walked a bit of a highbrow line for the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're really for the culture. We're pushing it forward. We're not with the fuck shit. We don't want to do all the other type of shit.
Right. Not
but then they're kind of like right. They're kind of like right in the meat and potatoes of that other shit.
Yeah.
By doing this. And I just feel like, too, I feel like there were, I mean, did they really do any research?
Yeah, they definitely did.
What I'm saying is, this is very, this is no shots to the people that I'm about to say, but this is very middle-aged white man
calling shots,
mm-hmm. right? This is why you'll see a bunch of acts and then you would randomly see Wu-Tang Clan.
Right.
Or a Tribe Called Quest, right? Yeah. Because that's the group of their youth, right?
Yeah.
So, you know
they
what I'm
lie.
Saying? They lie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when they get those opportunities is why you see certain people getting certain shots. Now, this may work for them. Maybe start with the way social media has sort of gotten these younger kids in their spaces of just saying ridiculously over the top shit. Maybe they take to him now. Right. I don't know. You know, not having that filter, he can curse, he can do whatever. Yeah. He's just gonna. Star is going to. There will be a
Star's
fight
on the star.
There will be a fight on that show. I promise you, there will be a fight on that show.
That's like so. Today, as an example. He had an issue with some stuff about that Fat Joe said about Lil Uzi Vert. And he actually was defending Lil Uzi Vert. Like, yo, you know, he took a shot at him, blah, blah, blah. I think that was some fuck shit that Joe did. He was like, yo, Joe, me and Joe don't have no beef, but that was some fuck shit. That was some sucker shit he did. Mm-hmm. And you could see Nadeska and Academics, especially because he's talking about Joe.
Right.
Who's, you know, known to get busy.
Right. Was like, we not getting like, this shit at all.
Holy shit. Right. Like, they like you can see their faces sometimes.
Well,
when
also
because
Joe's an elder to them.
Yeah, that too. And plus, Joe, yeah. Joe's been on the show, right. You know, and they know Joe's about it, you know, can go that way. And that they're just like, okay, this guy is. See, the thing about Joe Budden was Joe would talk reckless sometimes, but then he would also know, like, when the guest stuff came on, he would pull back.
Right.
And kind of be kind of quiet. Because right. There was a whole thing. And they was like, yo, Joe, keep that same energy. Like, right. The star is not going to pull back. Like, if Fat Joe comes on that show and says, what'd you say? He's going to say, well, I said you was a sucker, nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Then, you know, it's
not going to. And then the fight's going to break out.
Yeah.
And, but he also, but Star is also going to disrespect the fuck out of some of these artists. Like, disrespect the fuck out of them. And they not going to, and like, they may. A lot of those artists may have disliked Joe because they felt like Joe was just a hater, but they knew who Joe was.
They respected Joe.
There was a respect there, right? Like, you put your time in, you have some hits, you did whatever. You out here. Joe's been consistently on radio, on podcast, on something.
Yeah, Joe.
So, as a matter of fact, I think, isn't Joe considered one of the front runners in the podcast? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I think his podcast does pretty well, and he was on Hot 97 for a while. He's done
but they don't know Star, and even if they knew Star, they're not going to give a fuck about Star. So it's like,
it's gonna, but the thing is, Star don't give a fuck about them either. So
right, that's what I'm saying. This is all bad. So
this is where it gets.
That's my boy. I'm right.
And also where it gets very tricky is, like you said, Joe is an older dude, a Fat Joe.
Yeah.
Joe's an older dude. He's never going to see Academic and feel like, I'm going to slap the shit out of you because of what your man said.
Yeah. Right.
But these young niggas.
They will, yeah.
They will.
Yeah. Right.
Okay? Oh, that's your man's?
Yeah.
Get that to him.
Yeah.
Hold
that. Yeah, hold that. So, I just had to bring that up. That's my boy. I'm riding.
Yeah, peace to him.
I'm enjoying it so far. So, I don't think I had told y'all, but I went down to D.C. a couple weeks ago. I think I told you that for a wedding. I think I told
you. I saw it.
Yeah, I went to D.C. a couple weeks ago. A friend of mine from college got married. My first time going to a Muslim wedding, which it wasn't really no different. I thought it was going to be like a way different thing. It was very short. Like, the whole thing took 22 minutes.
Okay.
You know, obviously, Iman married them as a
You mean for the wedding itself?
For the wedding itself, the whole ceremony. Well, I guess it's an Iman. So he's in the nation, so he had a suit on. He didn't have a Muslim garb on. But he basically did the same thing as a pastor would do.
Okay.
But, you know, regardless, it was nice. I was happy for my man. He's married, and she seems like, first time I met her, but she seems like a nice girl. She's from Houston originally. Boom, boom, we had a good time. Went to the little reception at Bus Boys and Poets, which is a very popular place in D.C.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know me, I did the U-turn. So I went down Friday night, wedding was Saturday, and I got back on the road Saturday night. Because because it's a Muslim thing, they don't do no long-ass reception. They ain't going to 11:30, 12 o'clock with everybody half drunk doing a lecture slide. They don't do that. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely dancing, having some fun. But they had the Bus Boys, plus it was a Saturday night, so they only had Bus Boys and Poets from 6 to 9.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, so shit, I can go home. So I got on the road by 8:30, jumped on the road, you know, boom, I'm out of D.C., I'm flying, I'm doing my thing, you know, put on some music, I'm getting busy. Get up to about around exit 6. Look over to my right. God damn it.
They got you.
Motherfucker.
You know good and well.
I had. No, I fucked up.
But you know
good
and well that the New Jersey highway.
I know.
They do not play.
It was Saturday night. That's when it was doing that super cold stretch.
Yeah.
So one line of traffic out because it was like 13 degrees outside. It was brutal. So I was like, man, I'm probably good, man. Came on out behind me, pulled me over. Damn it. Gave me a ticket. Cool. My thing is this. So I get this ticket. Sitting about 4 or 5 days ago, I get this couple attorney letters in the mail. And I'm like, the hell? Mm-hmm. Somebody suing me? Open up. So it's a racket. Because I just, all the attorneys down there.
The attorneys took the files and offered to, like,
represent. I got about, I didn't, I never, that's about, I got about 9 so far.
Oh, they're going to keep coming.
All these attorneys saying, call me, I can get you with no points and blah, blah, blah.
They're going to keep coming, bro. They do that for everything in New Jersey.
I don't know what to do, though, because I ain't going back down there.
Listen, man.
I ain't going back down exit 6. But if I pay it, which I'm down to do, I'm going to get points.
Ask them if they, in New Jersey, I don't know, in this particular township, ask them if they do, which is like a one-time additional fine. And what you do is you pay a little bit more on your fine and you don't get points. If you don't have like a history.
Yeah, my shit clean.
So ask them if they operate or they participate in that sort of program. So if your ticket is like 2 and some change, you might have to pay another $125 or another $150. But that won't be no points. But it won't be no points.
To affect the insurance.
Yeah.
I just never knew about that whole attorney's thing sending you letters.
The New Jersey is a fucking racket.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is a racket.
Across the board.
Everything.
Well, also, it's also predatory because, you know, they do it for everything. If you, there's attorneys who do it in New York too. Like if you, I had some of them hit me up about, my taxes, like offering, like,
oh, to help you out.
Yeah, to help you out. And so anything that's public searchable database,
they
looking for it. So it could be debt consolidation. It could be your taxes. It could be a ticket. Yeah, but the thing is that, like, you catch the wrong person who's just overwhelmed by some shit.
You jammed up.
It doesn't feel like, for example, old girl on Black Ink. I haven't watched Black Ink. It's like the second episode, but the light-skinned girl who's married to the white boy. They got that.
The $30,000 bill.
Yeah, I was like, is that your first one of them? Because you got like 2 years before.
Exactly. Because you had a surprise.
And also, they freaking out. Like, we can't pay the IRS $30,000. And I was like, if that's just the first notice, they...
And honestly, if the IRS sent you that notice, call them.
Just call them.
The IRS just gets mad when you ignore them.
Right.
if you call them and be like, hey, bro, I got $18,000 a month I can give you.
They'll be like,
can we work it out?
So
here's the paperwork, you know. Yeah, but if you just ignore them.
Yeah, but even then, I know from experience, you got like 2-3 years before they really.
Yeah, before they go ham.
Yeah, before they go ham. So like when I was like, they doing this for the storyline. But I say all that to say, if you hit the wrong person who is just overwhelmed by it, doesn't want to go through the whole call this, press that button, enter this number, hold for this long, do all that, knows what to research to know what they need to do, they're going to pick up the phone and call, and say, yes, I'm going to cut you this check so you can handle this whatever for me when it's really stuff you can just do on your own.
Yeah, so I figured out. I called yesterday. Didn't nobody pick up the damn phone. Whatever, man.
Yeah, we talk later.
About that shit. Yeah, hey. Y'all been seeing these sex dolls popping up all over the place?
Oh my God. Apparently there was a whole conversation about it on the timeline. I missed that, thankfully.
What was the black, because they put out that black girl one.
Yeah.
The black girl one gonna get some action.
Put a little something on it.
But hey, that little Shaniqua there gonna get some action now.
Yes.
Somebody gonna come home with about four Hennessy's in.
This is definitely not your father's blow up doll.
Oh my God.
So they
gotta be expensive though, right?
I googled it to see.
what are they running?
I saw one. I think they were like one was $2,700. So probably like $2,500 probably on average. But it's also gonna be about getting it. Like, I'm sure the secondary market is really gonna explode.
Of course.
Right. You buy it.
Yo, my man got
like
the,
that shit. It might have been manufacturer might have been charging you $1,000. They're probably already on the secondary market.
Yeah.
So
I'm just wondering what the mentality is of a person that would do that.
Well, I
Is this Fat Reg who can't get no ass?
The awkward nerdy.
Yes. I read an article and this woman was really sort of jumping out of the window from the root. And she was talking about it was just for like lazy lovers and people, you know, it was like people who don't want to be emotionally tied. Like, there are men who are sexually frustrated because they're awkward. There are men who have social anxieties.
True. Mm-hmm.
There are men, like, you know, that's what's weird to me. It's like on one end, we champion, you guys are on the timeline and you champion sex workers. Guess who they fuck?
Awkward niggas.
Awkward right. people yeah. who don't have the social skills yeah. to go out here and be able to be touched by yeah. a woman right. in yeah. a sexual way.
Yeah.
So while I'm not comparing that to be a real, you know, a real experience, I'm saying
there's a market.
There's a market. There's a market. You're not going to make a fucking doll like that
right.
for it to sit on a shelf.
Right.
Like, clearly there's a market.
And it's obviously. Not, and it's not just a creep market. Like, there is.
Yeah, they're like, just a bunch of fucking weirdos in their mom's basement.
There's an absolute market for it. Yeah. There are people who have all sorts of fetishes. What I'm saying was, I find it very interesting when we turn our noses up to certain fetishes.
But others,
but, cool. but other fetishes right. is cool.
Like, choking is in. Lately,
yeah,
I'm like choking poke.
Yeah, yeah, little choking is it. I mean, I, yeah. that's the hot shit now to the youngins. Like, choking.
But there's a whole bunch of BDSM yeah. elbows on the timeline. I'd be like, really?
Yeah, but
like,
but
has
yeah,
this
but,
always but, been a thing? That's the
hot. That's the hot shit. But when you yeah. said, but a sex doll, yo. So I okay. So
if you go way way back in the days on us right
I'm
now,
I'm not going way way back in the days. But this sex doll thing triggered something that I saw online one time, and it bugged me out, right? I was like, oh, shit, this is crazy. But then I thought about it, and I was like, yo, but it's real. Like, that shit happens. So, all right. So, I don't even know how I got to this place. But I was online, and it was a thing about these women, most of them was black women, like nurses. It was like mm-hmm. Caribbean women. And they were taking care of adolescents and younger men who were like in wheelchairs and stuff like that. They were like washing them and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then they started jerking the dudes off.
Oh, you were watching
just
porn.
As like a release?
Yes, because the dudes wasn't getting no pussy, obviously. They couldn't do it themselves. So it was like, but they were doing it like clinically.
We got a paraplegic kid.
Yes.
So they didn't have use of their limbs and things like that.
Yeah, but
well,
they,
yeah, because
they got to release some kind of way. And he's like, I guess it's, that has to happen. Like, they can't not bust a nut ever in life.
I would assume. I mean, listen,
I don't think so.
I don't know at what point. Do you stop having wet dreams? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. So I don't know if after a certain point of no releasing, I've never experienced that. So I'm just saying.
Bro, I'm like, no, I did pretty good. I'm you know what I'm saying?
I would assume that after a certain point of literally never being able to release,
right.
that there's a nocturnal emission, there's a wet dream, there's a...
Yeah, but that still ain't busted off, though.
But what I'm saying is that's something that they have to clean up, right? Like, either way, right? Like, it becomes messy, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have to, maybe on schedule, now they got to come in the morning, yeah. maybe he gets his shit at, you know, 11, yeah. and so now they got to come in, wake him up at 6. And take care of him because he's, you know,
yeah.
sitting in semen all day. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just, it's
the shit was wild though. But I was like, yo, but I guess, yeah, like, and I think that's like when you hear any stories of my old niggas in the nursing homes, right. like grabbing on the lady is like, well,
they ain't grabbing on the lady. Listen, let me tell you something. They fucking in the nursery home.
Well, that too.
Listen, bro. I took my mom to the geriatric clinic.
Mr. Listen, Earl.
They got a whole motherfucking box of condoms sitting there. At the geriatric.
Hell no.
Bro, listen to me.
Well,
one of the fastest rising populations with STDs
is
geriatrics. They are fucking in the nerve.
Because they didn't have to worry about all that shit back in their day, and they've probably been on the other side of like marriages and all this shit.
Widowers or whatever, they just doing whatever.
Bro, you don't have to be that old to be in a nursing home. You might
be 60 something.
Yeah, you might be like 64, 65. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Miss Earlene got her yoga pants on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you know,
out there doing her little Richard Simmons.
You know what I'm saying? You won't watch Wheel of Fortune later, baby?
Come on over here.
Come on over here. I got a little E and J.
I'm sorry I got us on that topic. That shit was bizarre. I didn't even know how I got us there. But yeah. Hey, I know you don't watch it, but you been watching 60 Days In?
I can't find it, dude.
Just go to A&E and watch
one.
Come in.
I went to like A&E one night, and I guess they didn't have, like, I couldn't log in.
Yeah, they're about five apps in now.
Right.
You don't watch 60 Days In.
But I'll definitely, I need to catch up. I need to be watch.
So just, it's just.
Is that the one where they volunteer to go in?
Yeah.
Who the fuck does, like, I don't understand that concept.
I don't either. And I heard, I read up because I was like, they must get a bunch of bread. I think they only get like $25,000.
Who in their right mind? will volunteer.
I don't know.
60 days of their life.
And they in jail.
Like they're in jail.
They're in Fulton like, County
even if,
prison.
So like, even if the COs and all of them know what it is, the other inmates don't necessarily know what it is. Or even if they do know what it is, that might actually make you a target.
Yeah.
But also like...
And I don't think all the COs actually know either.
Okay. But that means... So like, that means you're giving up your life.
Yeah.
You putting whatever you got on the outside. Like, you must really have nothing going on to go inside. Because let me tell you something. I did 13, 14, 16 hours in county. I don't ever need to go in another anything ever again in my whole entire... That was enough to let me know
it's some bullshit.
I ain't that one. I am not the one.
I think it's really interesting, right? Because, you know, for us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, 25 grand is not worth going to jail for.
And
right?
maybe getting shanked or because they in there.
But that's what I'm saying.
They're not a PC.
I think that this is an indication.
Is this a privilege?
Yeah, conversation?
But still in jail, Sean.
I'm saying I really don't think that they understand
how little money it is.
How not just how little money it is, but really what happens in jail,
right.
Like in the county.
Right. Right.
Because in your mind, like you mentally think like, you know, state prison or federal prison is like really where shit is just crazy.
No, it's county.
In big towns like that, the county, that shit is wild, bro.
And
it's an indication of, yeah, how much 20, you know, listen, 25 grand. That's a single wide.
Yeah, but
single wide, and you can pay off your cash.
But shit, now why do you get taxed on that shit? That's like, you're taking like 17 grand. I don't know, whatever. Let me show you.
17 grand and a little bit of
if you're
outside of Atlanta.
If the factory don't laid you off, I'm just saying, like, okay, so I did see one episode, and I think I saw an episode where, like, they got out. Like, they finally got out.
Okay.
But one of the dudes was like, he just wanted to do it to see what it was. I was like, the fuck is wrong with y'all?
One girl,
like, y'all, this ain't, like, y'all watch too much TV. Like, this shit is for real.
It ain't a joke.
It's so real.
This ain't Oz.
And you might come out, like, I don't think you guys watched, did you watch The Night Of? That HBO special?
No.
But the dude who was in
Rikers? I know what it's about, yeah.
But that's my thing.
He changed.
Yeah, he changed through the process because he had to adapt to survive in Rikers. This nigga came out tatted up, a heroin addict. You know what I mean? Like, smuggling drugs, like all kinds of shit.
In the previews for this one, I mean, obviously it's not going to happen until late in the season, but in the previews to this one, the head CEO obviously is part of putting the program together.
Right.
They show him, they don't see who he's talking to, but he's talking to one of them, and he's like, yo, okay, I got to shut this whole program down because you've actually become a real prisoner.
Right.
Like, you out here, like, doing it for real. Like, this ain't about the program no more. You actually really being doing prison shit.
Right.
So one of them does change. I don't know who it's going to be yet. I got a feeling this is lesbian gal.
You could end up coming out and now, you know, there's the argument, which is the argument everybody makes for Rikers, is the fact that you become socialized while you're in there and you actually come out a criminal even if you didn't go in.
Yeah, because you got to do criminal shit to survive.
Right. And it's like, so, okay.
It's a wild show.
The people who are doing this, ain't no black people doing it, is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Last season it was a couple. This season it's one... It's two black girls, no black men. All white men.
I need to know who they
But last with. Season was like two or three black dudes.
I need to know who they... You a black man voluntarily going into this? What the fuck is wrong with you?
And one black dude, he started really feeling it. Like, he got beef with the CO. They locked him up in solitary. Like, he was wild.
Nope.
So, yeah, I just wanted
ain't
to
enough money
that.
To tell me to do that. Nope.
Did anybody take a look at this, the Oscar nominations?
Some.
Did you look at them, bro?
I know we have... I know there's the first...
Get Out got five, right?
Yeah.
Get Out got five. I know there's the first female cinematographer, only the fifth female director.
Who's that? Dee Reese is the director. No, she didn't get one. For Mudbound, she didn't get one.
Mary? No, it was a chick from Mudbound.
Oh, Dee Reese did get a nom?
I think it was her.
Okay.
The chick from Mudbound. Only the fifth African-American director for Best Picture, which is... Jordan Peele.
Yep.
And Mary is the first person to be nominated for Best Original Song and Best Actress.
Yep.
She got a double nom. Common for Best Original Song. If Common were to take this home, this would be his second Best Original Song Oscar. Mm-hmm. He about the edge for. I don't even think Pharrell got one yet.
No, because I don't think Happy won.
But he also got nominated. Oh no, he didn't get the nomination for what you call. Did he get the nomination for the for the hidden picture, for the hidden
Oh, the Hidden Figures joint.
I don't think so.
I can't remember if you got the nomination or not.
How many of these movies have you seen? Have you seen? Okay,
I'm so, behind this year. I'm
here's
way...
the movies I ain't seen, but
I'm seen way behind one.
So call me by your name. I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
Darkest Hour. Not sure if I know what that is either. Dunkirk is a war movie.
I have no interest.
Get Out. Lady Bird.
I want to see Lady Bird. Keep hearing things about it.
Phantom Thread.
Something about the fact that it's called Lady Bird makes me not interested.
I thought it was about Lady Bird Johnson.
I did too. That's what I was like. Why are you talking about a movie about Lady Bird Johnson?
The Post, Shape of Water.
I don't think The Post is even out yet.
Nah,
that's out.
It is. I saw The Post.
It's dope.
It's great performances. It is not a great movie.
Okay.
The performances are phenomenal, though.
But the movie's in.
I tried to watch The Shape of Water on the Fire Stick one night, and I was only half paying attention, but I feel like, you know, every once in a while, like, the Fire Stick says it's one movie and it's another movie. Yeah. I think it was that.
Was it about an amphibian and a deaf lady? A mute?
I couldn't tell. Like I said, I was actually half paying attention.
I couldn't tell.
Well, I was doing something. But what I was looking at, I was like, this don't seem like what the description said.
Okay, so that might not be it.
Yeah.
In the Three Billboards movie. With I saw Tanya. I told y'all saw that. Mm-hmm. So I've seen two.
Right.
So
I'll catch up with.
Them yeah, I'm gonna catch up. Before the show. You know, I've seen some black folks involved again this year, which we're happy about.
Yes.
I'm actually pulling for Get Out to win everything.
I'm pulling for Get Out to win something. I want it to win something. I don't know if it's gonna win on five, but I'm pulling for it to win.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's gonna win on five, right. But I want it to. You know what
I'm
mean?
Happy it was. I'm happy it got all those nominations.
Yeah, because early, I guess after Golden Globes, it didn't get anything, right?
It got shut nominations, out. But it got shut out.
So people were wondering if it was good, that was going to transfer over to the you know, to the Oscars, but the Oscars obviously overlooked it. So
well, this is what happened with Moonlight last year. It was shut out of everything, and then
that's right.
Won Best Picture.
That's right. So hopefully, you know, we'll see. And y'all ain't listening to the new Drake record, did you?
Nope.
I don't know why I'm asking.
Drake has a new record?
Yeah.
He's put out two songs. You know, they both really good, though. I mean.
That's interesting, though. Like, I'm not going to say it's been quiet.
It's called an EP, but it's
only put out two records. It's not as much noise as there usually is around.
No, that's not true. He just broke records. He got he broke Apple and Spotify streaming records for a day.
When did he put them out?
He put them out, what is today? Is Wednesday? He put them out.
On Friday?
Friday or Saturday.
Oh, maybe that's what I'll
yeah, and they streamed like 14 million in a day or some crazy number. Okay. Like, see, broke records.
I was doing so they was, I wasn't on the Twitter. This is how I know when these things happen, by the Twitter.
Yeah, you wasn't on the Twitter. You missed that. Because it was definitely trending like number one for a while. Either when you'll watch a Versace thing?
I need to. I was in LA. Yeah, it started last
came
week.
Came out last week.
I was in LA.
Last Wednesday.
I heard it was really good.
I watched it.
I heard it was really good.
It's really good. And yo, the casting is crazy because old boy looks exactly like Versace.
Really?
Like, exactly. Right. The same everything. And then old boy looks really, pretty much like Andrew Cunanan.
Yeah.
I guess that's how you say his mm-hmm. name. You know, it's done by the people who did
the OJ.
Yeah.
The OJ shit and all that. So it's very, so it's that where it's like you're seeing, you know, find out information and the acting is amazing.
Yeah.
And you see how they met and, you know, you see Andrew was like this, you know, he's like a sociopath.
Who
kept changing his, and a social climber.
Yeah.
Who kept trying to change his life story.
To fit whatever
he did. They show him how he played Versace and got close to him and all that shit. Because the first episode, they showed the killing.
Oh, okay.
And then they're going to go back. Then they go through the chase and the hunt.
Right.
Tracking them down after you find out more information. And then it brings in also a piece about Versace actually was about to go public.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like right before he got killed, they were about to take the company public and make a grip. Right. So then they show Donatella and his older brother, his name's Stefano, come to Miami. Right. And like they show like Donatella like starting to take over the company. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it was really dope. I mean, all the those things that they do are very well done. Mm-hmm. FX things.
Yeah.
So you should watch. No, even if you binge it at some point, like it's really.
I definitely plan to watch it because I mean, y'all know I was there for OJ every week.
Yeah,
and it was just really really good storytelling. So I was looking forward to whatever they did next. And in the meanwhile, you know, NBC has had their own little fake version of American Crime Story, and they tried to do like the Menendez brothers or something like that.
Yeah, I wanted to see the Menendez brothers joint.
I heard it was bad. Dang. It was really bad. So I was excited to see this. And last week, you know, I saw everybody talking. They were like, just give them all the Emmys. Just give them all.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's like I said, that first episode was like, oh shit, this is popping.
Right.
I just wanted to mention, I didn't get to watch it because it was too hectic, but I'm going to watch it at some point and talk about this Eric Garner doc that TV One did.
Oh yeah.
It looked, the trailers look really good.
It's actually, it's Viola Davis and her husband, right?
Yeah, Viola Davis and her husband. Company. Yeah, and she's doing the voiceover. Yeah, and they got, everybody's
to do
in
a
it.
Lot of original content right now. They're also about to do like, a short movie or original film about the bus, about the Montgomery bus boycott.
Okay.
All right. From the different point of view of like Rosa's husband, like the Lord, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like a whole bunch of, I guess maybe the SNCC folk. But not necessarily like a Martin point of view.
Yeah. So yeah, so I mean, I just want to mention that, at, you know, whenever I watch it, I'll definitely bring that
and
up.
And I want to mention,
I know you
want to
mention, you talk about This
I want to mention
right?
This Is Us, because y'all two niggas don't watch.
No.
But for those of us.
I hear it's amazing. I just never got to it.
For those of us who are there every week, so.
It's new season now?
We've come back. We're like halfway through the new season. We done come back from winter break. Okay. All that. So. If you guys probably already know that This Is Us is basically the story about how a family survives after the father dies, but it's told in flashbacks. So even though he's been dead since long before the first episode, yeah, because we are going back through their childhoods, mm-hmm. and it skips around different times. We see him as teenagers, we see him as kids, we see him as babies. Like the storyline goes back and forth, but. We have never been told how he died. And finally, earlier this season, we found out how he died, but we still didn't know when it happened. And now he dies next episode. So
you're bracing yourself.
So we're bracing us. Because I thought it was about to happen this week. And I was like, I had a pit in my stomach the whole time because we had enough clues. We knew it was coming somewhere. We knew how old the kids were when he died. Mm-hmm. We knew kind of like what was going on around the time that he died. And we had seen some glimpses of like later that day after, or like he died like in the middle of the night. We had seen some glimpses of what happened later that day. So like this family was a big football family. He was a huge Steelers fan. He was like a Super Bowl fan. So like I knew like that the wife had on a Steelers jersey and I saw her with a Steelers jersey on. I was like, so I was just like, so. And what's crazy is that, like I said, it's Super Bowl Sunday. The next episode is coming on right after the Super Bowl. And it's about Super Bowl Sunday night.
Oh, shit. That's great programming.
Great programming. So,
Sterling K. Brown, yes. How is his character? He got adopted by a white family or something? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. As a triplet.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they lost the baby. They had triplets. They lost one of the babies.
Mm.
Sterling was dropped off at the hospital the same day. Just left. At the hospital,
and so they took
him. The father convinced the mother to take Sterling. So he was raised with these other two as a triplet.
And obviously, he must be amazing in the show because he keeps winning all the awards.
He's so fucking dope. He's so fucking dope. And honestly, like people have argued that he has the most interesting and complex storyline because he actually is married and has kids, and like his bio father came back into the picture at one point. Like it was like a whole thing. Mm. His line's been very complex, but it's just, I mean, and they're so like his wife. Like, remember how much we used to love Claire Huxtable?
Mm.
That's how much niggas love her. She's so cool. She's so dope. She's so black, but she's so intelligent and just like, and their conversations are so real. I love
it. You be crying?
Almost every episode. I get a little.
That's what everybody say. People be crying every episode.
And I
think that's also what made me go,
it's not an ugly cry. It just, it tugs at you a little bit. And this episode, I actually was like, oh. We're finally going to kind of have a lighthearted episode because the first half of it was kind of light. And then I was like, oh, it's time. You know, I was like,
Oh, one more. I got a shout out. I don't know if it's the right term, but I wanted to say, you know, peace and love to my man, Gary Harris, who passed away.
I didn't know him, but I saw.
Yeah, because he probably was almost out by the time you started moving.
Yeah.
He was a. You know, a record exec. He started actually at Sugar Hill Records.
Wow.
Because he's from Inglewood.
Right.
So he grew up with them dudes.
Oh, okay. He was really like in the beginning,
Then early Def Jam and all that stuff for Russell and them guys. And then he went to, eventually got to EMI, which is not even in existence anymore.
Right.
And he signed D'Angelo.
Okay.
And so that was his, you know, kind of claim to fame, which is a good claim to
fame. Yeah, that's a good claim to fame.
Then he, and he also, right before that, I think he worked at another label, which is Defunct, called Giant Records.
I remember that.
And he put together the New Jack City soundtrack.
Very dope.
So that was
New Jack City was on Giant? I don't think I ever it was on Giant
with Cassandra Mills.
Okay.
Who y'all don't know, but she was a record exec. I mean, she's still alive. Right. She's actually Stephanie Mills' cousin.
Okay. New Jack City, which is one of the... I put it number two behind Boomerang, is one of the best urban... film soundtrack ever in history.
No question. So Gary Cassandra, then I think he went to EMI after that, and then he signed D'Angelo. And then,
because D'Angelo definitely came later.
Yeah, you know, then, you know, kind of bounced around and did some other things, but he passed away. He probably had pneumonia and wouldn't get checked out, and kind of, you know, obviously got worse and worse, and, you know, ended up, you know, taking him down. So that's the one to say, because he and I used to talk a lot,
right?
You know, like a lot, you know what I'm saying? So, I, you know, I was sad to see, you know, another. Well, he wasn't a peer because he's older than me. Like, you know, he kind of taught me a lot of shit. But like another person in a month's time, gone. I'm hoping, I'm hoping that's it for a minute. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely wanted to speak about that. You don't have to say nothing about this now if you don't if you want to. But so Sierra was on the timeline. The other day. You saw this, bro?
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
Causing a ruckus. Oh, okay, good.
What I have zero affiliation.
All right, cool. So Sierra was on the timeline the other day. She posted a thing about basically leveling up.
Well, okay. She reposted a clip of a pastor. And some, I didn't even listen to the song.
Was it the, it was your man, John Gray. Yeah, John Gray from Oprah's.
So I didn't listen to the clip, but the caption said, y'all out here saying you want
to be a wife.
Want to be a wife, but you walk in the spirit of girlfriend.
Yeah, walking in the path of a spirit of a girlfriend.
And,
exactly.
Yeah, it was like spirit of girlfriend and Sierra hashtag level up.
Mm-hmm.
And, everybody was like, bitch, get on me,
but this is my thing. Okay, so when she went through all this stuff with Hendrix,
right?
Who savage, okay? So he is. So she went through all this shit with Hendrix. He, you know, I always felt like she had, you know, her part in too. But regardless,
right.
It didn't work out. Right. And then she met Russell and she brought young Future to Russell and Russell's taking him on as a, not even as a stepfather. Seems like he's really a father figure because he's there way more than Future. And everybody was like, yeah, Sierra, that's right. Fuck that nigga. You got a real man. He's just mad because you were a good man. Blah, blah, blah. Fine. But then she says, basically, she kind of is reiterating.
No, she's saying.
She's saying, y'all should do what I did. Get away from this bum-ass niggas and get with a decent nigga and level your shit up.
But no, Jeff, that's not okay.
That's not really...
That's not what she's saying.
Yeah, that wasn't
the context
of what the clip was.
Right. The clip is more like... So, like, there's always this thing, right, where there's this argument that, like, women should act like a wife if they want a husband, but women should only be a girlfriend until they're the wife, but... You know, you should do these things if you want these things, but there's never any conversation about what that nigga needs to do for you. And Sierra hashtagging level up also suggests that you're not elevated or you're not actualized or you're not whatever until you get that ring. And it's like, ma'am, you had every relationship you've ever been in has been public. And like, what's funny is that the people who were like, Sierra is absolutely right, are the same people who were like, that's fucked up that she got that dude around that. And that's because it's the same mentality. It's all a very male-centered mentality. And it's very much about your worth is equal to your status as far as being married and single.
No,
and
a woman's worth.
Right. And what people were supporting with Sierra wasn't so much that she got married. It was just that she seemed to be in a healthy relationship. She seemed happy. And I don't even know if it's not really been support for Sierra so much as it's just been like, Future, you're full of shit. You know what I mean? It's not even so much been like, we ride for C as it's been like, y'all niggas is wrong. So, you know, I think it's two different things. I think it's been more support for Russell if we be in 100. That's yeah, who I've been defending.
I think Future has, never mind. Look, well, what you gonna say, bro?
Well, I think that this is a much deeper conversation as to why this is a very constant conversation in Black churches.
Yes.
And it's a very constant conversation in Black culture. Right. Is, you know, that's sort of the running theme. Like, go look at any of those sort of Black movies where it's the successful.
Every
woman.
Tyler Perry movie.
Why ain't you married yet? We're gonna get you a good man.
Over there by yourself.
And the happy ending always includes you get a man.
Yeah. And so I think that.
With a wig in Tyler Perry's case.
Who works a blue collar union job.
Yes. And he is light skinned.
But he's a good man now. He tried hard.
but I think that there's a deeper conversation as it pertains to this and the Black church, right? Because that's really what this is about. So I think people's reaction
was more to John Gray than the Sierra.
Was about a culture that is consistently berating them about not being good enough to be a wife.
Right.
Mm.
This just happened to be the conduit in which that message was flowing. Right. And she, you know, I've always felt like all of this happiness around Sierra was a little fake.
Well, because ain't nobody should have happy like that 100%
of the
time.
But also, Level Up is the name of Sierra's new single. So, like,
that was
a lot of people probably don't know that part, but that was also why I was like,
Nobody listened to that. Nobody knows that. I promise you, less than 2%
I know,
of the people
that have that. I know nobody else knew that, but one reason I was side-eyeing is
because
like,
he was just like, this is some marketing shit.
Yeah, that was like when fucking Chrisette was putting out all that strong Black woman bullshit. Like, yeah, this ain't how you do it.
And I think the tone was that. Listen, you know, folks want to be happy for her. And I think folks are, to some degree, genuinely happy for her. Mm-hmm. I mean, mostly because she seems happy, right? Like, right. She seems to be, you know, having a great time. Mm-hmm. And I think that was sort of, it felt like a bit of a dig. It felt like, get you some. It's like.
But also, like, go ahead.
I'm just saying, it's like, kind of like, If you doing good, you working,
right.
you out there busting your ass every day, you pull up in, you know, an Acura.
Right.
Right? Because that's what your bread is calling for.
Right.
And
right.
then some nigga pulls up in a Rolls Royce Phantom and is like, yeah,
you
nigga,
walking
level
up.
Yeah,
walking in a Spirit Acura.
Yeah, you walking in a Spirit Acura.
level up, nigga.
Yeah, but also, I was like, see, were you not walking in the spirit of wife when you were engaged to and pregnant by... You know what I mean? Were you not walking in the spirit
this
of
is
wife all, with
it
Bow Wow?
It is like, always very tricky and very dicey when you have made your relationship the sort of litmus test for happiness, right? Like right. this is the bar now.
Relationship goals.
And when you do that, you expose yourself and you put yourself in a position where you can't really throw those stones.
Nope.
You don't get the opportunity to throw those stones.
Nope.
And I don't know what happens in, and to Nas' point, I think it's very interesting because I don't necessarily search for sermons, but when I hear and see stuff like this from pastors, it is never geared toward men.
Mm-mm.
Being a husband and what you need to do to be an honorable man.
Mm.
Is never discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Not one time.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think...
You just go to work, you bring on that breaking,
that's
make sure
it,
them
right?
bills
like,
are paid,
and you
know, throw the football on Saturday with the kids, and you're good.
And so, you know, I just feel like there's you know, and she just kind of got to deal with it, right? Like,
yeah.
You got to deal with his shit. He don't really kind of got to deal with your shit.
Right, and that's the vibe.
So let's go deeper. Right. Like, let's take Sierra off the table. So, to what you said earlier, and kind of what Sean said too. So this whole thing about, women having to have a man to be whole.
Or the suggestion that they have.
The suggestion. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what do you,
like, something's wrong with you.
If you ain't married and have a bunch of kids by the time you're 27 years old, whatever.
Right.
So what do you, cause I know some of your friends are single and stuff like that. What do y'all talk about? What do y'all say about that?
I mean,
process.
Listen, I'm 41 and I'm not single and I'm not married and I have no kids and I've never been married, never been engaged, like none of that, mm-hmm. right? That distressed my father to no end. I think my father would have rather I've been divorced than never married.
Like, at least he got to
at walk least you down I got, the aisle. And like, never that. Mind, your ass was married three times. Whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean?
But it's just kind of like, it's just the fact you got married.
Right. Like, his prime point of conversation whenever we spoke was about
So when you go on,
I was in a relationship, when was I going to have kids? Like, he had been trying to get me to have kids since I was like 25. So this is why so many people have a problem with the Black church and what organized religion, period. Because a lot of it, depending on, like, this is why where you worship is so important, not just going to church, period, but where you go to church. Because it is very easy to take the Bible and twist it to be just about, like, men lead, men make all decisions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these whole teppy ass niggas like to be like, the woman's supposed to be submissive to the man, but the man's supposed, but the other part of that is that the man is supposed to be submissive to God. And that means, you know, she follows you as you follow God, but mm-hmm. that means that you are accountable for some shit, yeah. right? It's not just like, let me lay around and you cook and you clean and you do this and you that because I'm the man. It means that you have to be a leader, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to be a thoughtful leader and a conscientious leader and a spiritual leader. And that's the part that niggas like to conveniently leave out. Mm-hmm. Or when dudes are like, could you be with a polyamorous relationship where I just wish I could have multiple wives? You think you just about to have hoes up in the house cooking and cleaning and fucking, but you're only supposed to have multiple wives and you can support all them motherfuckers financially.
And lead them properly.
Yeah. And you know, and like, you home broke and you just want a bunch of chicks in the house. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's very, every conversation that we have really about male and female dynamics, about street harassment, about sexual harassment, about rape, about marriage, about relationships, it always seems to be centered on what the woman should and shouldn't be doing instead of what niggas should and shouldn't be doing. Mm. And, you know, the difference between men and women is that, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, but this is what I've seen even in my own friends, for the most part, not universally, but a woman will fall in love with a man and be ready to marry that man. Mm. A man will get to a place where he's comfortable and be ready to marry whoever happens to come along when he feels
the next
good. Yeah. Like, I know mad chicks was in like long-term relationships, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Nigga never committed. The very next one married like 6 months, you know, yeah. something like that because his shit got together or whatever, you know, yeah. it's just, so that's the hard part for us is that people be like, why you ain't married yet? When you getting married? When you doing this? When you doing that? But it's like, but then when you see instances of women like taking initiative and asking a man to marry them, you clowning. So, you know, it takes all power and choice away from us, you know?
I remember this girl, it was recent, dude. She was on the gram, whatever. And she sparked the whole thing. I'm sure you saw it. When she was like, until I'm married, I'm single.
Right.
And I'm going to just, you know, do whatever. Like, I'm just going to be dating or whatever. And until somebody, you know, commits to me like that, I'm single.
Right.
And, you know, it caused an uproar and a lot of niggas was like, you just gonna hoe around and you ain't never gonna get nobody. A lot of women said that too. But I was kind of like, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what niggas do.
And,
yeah.
You know, guess what? And guess what? Technically you are.
Yeah.
When the box don't say, are you living with a nigga for 5 years?
Right.
The box says,
got his kids.
Married, divorced. Yeah. 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 Widow. Yeah. That's yeah. it. Ain't yeah. no yeah. box for, we shacking up. Yeah, nigga. Exactly. Ain't no line for that.
We ain't mad, so but we together.
Ain't no, right. Ain't no line for like, but that's my baby father. Yeah. Like, it's just not.
It's just, so, I mean, listen, man, I just think that, and let me just say this, man, married people are fucking unbearable with this shit. And I'm saying this
as a married man. Yeah.
You motherfuckers put so much pressure on people and you paint. There is such an extreme view when you talk to married couples. Either it is, I am walking with the Lord, right. and it needs to be.
We go to church.
We are on one accord. That's right. Or it's like, the most miserable motherfuckers you've ever met. I want to kill this nigga. Yeah, I'm about to get this insurance money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so extreme. Yeah. And I always find, man, I always say this, like, if you're going to talk about your marriage or you're going to talk about relationships, you have to talk about the peaks and the valleys.
Yes.
You cannot just pick one and stay on that one.
It ain't the Cosby Show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, to me, man, when I see and I hear this, I understand, I get these, you know, emails from the church and the single retreat, and they do all, there is so much around trying to pair and marry lock people in and it feels like a lot of pressure. I look at that from an outsider looking in.
Like, damn.
Yo, this is a lot, man. Yeah. This is a lot. You go, and you know, listen, my
parents, if you go to one of them single retreats and you don't meet nobody, then you come back feeling like a failure.
Or, I mean, it's not just the church. It is also part of our culture because I very much had aunts and my mom, they was definitely the aunts.
Yeah.
Want to know what you've been doing and why you can't, why you, you know, oh, Curtis ain't around no more. You know what I'm saying?
All that shit.
What'd you do?
What'd you do?
you ran another one on.
But it also still goes back.
Can't keep a man.
And we've talked about this before in the context of sexual harassment, sexual assault. Like, it also goes back to that old saying, like, you love a son and you raise a daughter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the boys, you give them a pat on the head.
Boys will be boys.
They go on about their way. But the girls, at 6 years old, they cleaning up on Saturdays. They washing dishes. Mm-hmm. They cooking. They doing all
this. Laundry and shit.
And it's crazy because, like, I was saying this. I wasn't here for the Aziz conversation. But when I was having the conversation with people, I was like, the problem we need to really break down is everything that we are taught as a society. Like, some of our thinking is making leaps and bounds ahead of how far behavior can change. I mean, how quickly behavior can change, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, when you've gone through however many decades of being taught the man pursues, a good girl doesn't say yes immediately, mm-hmm. you play uninterested to make him work harder, you say mm-hmm. no even if you're available. Like, that was all the way up into the 90s. Like, the rules was all about that book, The Rules.
Absolutely.
It was all about that. Like, if he calls you and it's only X amount of notice, say no, you know, feign disinterest.
He's too thirsty.
Right. So it's like, when we have been literally taught to send mixed signals,
mm-hmm.
and then we're mad that niggas can't read clear signals.
Yeah.
But men are also at the same time taught that, like, if the girl is worth it, she's going to make you work harder so that when a woman who is speaking directly, they like, oh, she must be a hoe.
Yeah.
You know, like, until we get that shit together. Okay.
I lost out on some ass because of that. I've had girls say to me later, why you ain't keep calling me?
Right.
I was like, you was actually with me. I kept pushing.
Yeah.
No, it was just that I was like, the fuck is you talking about?
Right.
Yeah.
What happened? I've heard this so many times. What happened?
Right.
What the fuck you mean what happened?
Right.
You know, I called you, you know, we didn't feel like it was nothing popping, so it's cool. I'm not going to harass you.
But, Jeff, for every man like you who's like that, there's four more niggas that will actually be more interested when that bitch.
I know.
Is,
and I'm always going to think it's like, damn, problem. Son.
And if she is picking up the phone, they'd be like,
Yeah.
Because the chase has been built into part of our dating culture. And even as our thought has evolved, this is what we've been taught, like, for so long. So, like I said, it's with everything. When we talk about a patriarchal society, it's not just all men. It's not just the all men are trash thing, and it's not, like, all oppressive. But some of it is just about everything in our society in America is based around a man as the head, as the leader, as the dominator, as the driver.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still trying to catch up to women being thought leaders and
mm-hmm.
have an agency of decision
and not always
choice.
Taking the back seat.
Yeah, and it's taking a little while for us to catch up, obviously, for obvious reasons. So, you know, when I see these conversations, for every, you know, few people who are enlightened, there's some archaic Negroes who are gonna be like, you walking in the spirit of girlfriend. And even that's mixed messages because, like, what does walking in the spirit of wife mean? What the fuck does that mean?
I didn't watch the sermon, but I would bet to good money probably meant not fucking.
Well, I think that, I didn't get the full, I only saw the clip and the context of the clip. I didn't see the full sermon, so I don't know the full context of it. But, you know, again, I'm just always leery about those. To me, that subject and the way they pick at the insecurities of women in that particular instance is very low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
It gets a lot of applause. Mm-hmm. It gets a lot of yeses and amens. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really provide leadership. And I've always been a proponent, like to me, a pastor, you lead the flock.
Yes.
You are there to lead. Right. That's why I'm always leery about these, like, these motherfucking pastors. You can't, you ain't got no hours. You ain't got no hours at the church. You're right. Just at the church.
You just there on Sundays.
You know what I'm saying? You just there on Sundays and that's it. You out every other day. Right. So what happens when Sister Earlene need to come in and get a word, which she can't come in and get a word. Right. So all that makes me uneasy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So those sorts of pastors have taken on this sort of relationship guru, financial guru. They take on these prosperity and follow this. So you're not following the word. And that's why you don't have a man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, listen, Deacon Jones ain't been following the word for 25 years. Deacon Jones been fucking first lady. How about that?
I mean, the other thing is, I mean, let's keep it 100. And I'll admit, this is a place where I get into disagreements with other Christians, but it's like, because they're like, the word doesn't change, the word's consistent. The Bible is written by man. Like, we all know that. It was heavily edited by, you know, the Roman Catholic Church. Books are missing. Shit has been changed around. So I feel like even though you can read the Bible for guidance, literal readings of the Bible is dangerous.
Well, every time people take the Bible super literally, it leads to horrible shit.
Yeah, it leads to horrible shit. And these types of things, like fornication before marriage, this shit was like from when people got married at 16.
Yeah, it's like 5,000 years ago.
I'm 40 years old. You think I'm not fucking for 40 fucking years?
And here's another thing. Your sweet angelic grandmother, okay, was fucking in the back of the juke joint.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to tell you, my nigga. I don't know what else to tell you. Niggas keep acting like, and stop acting like fucking and being out here is bad and like some shit that like nobody else started. This shit just started. You think, listen, you know what was the IG models before? Your aunties at the fucking juke joint. They was out there strutting in their red pussy skirts, nigga, and getting it popping.
Yep, getting it cracking.
Okay? And they raised families and they worked and they were women that grew a society, right? Like really helped the culture and pushed us forward. And it's okay because they want to fuck Mr. Cecil behind the juke joint.
But listen, mama, I'm sorry, but if I do some math between my mama's birthday and my grandparents' anniversary, it's some months missing. That's all. I'm just saying. It's a couple 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and you know what?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
Like, whatever. Like, we put these super strict boundaries on people. It's just, it's foolishness. And a lot of that shit is perpetuated by married folks. Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm not marrying nobody without knowing if we're good together in bed.
Otherwise, you don't be like, what the hell?
What?
No. You ordered one of them $2,500 sex dolls.
Shaniqua. Last topic has got to be Monique and Netflix. So Monique put it out there. I remember when very recently that she was offered $500,000 to do a special for Netflix. Well, I'm not sure if she was offered or if she pitched it, but whatever.
Whatever. Netflix put $500,000
on the table for her to do a special.
Right.
She felt extremely insulted by this offer and went public. Her and her husband went public in saying so.
As they do
when some don't go their way.
Yeah.
So her argument was basically, I have this long track record of accolades and awards and won an Oscar and have done some amazing things. And she has. And my track record and pedigree should allow me to make more money than that. I should be getting paid in the same realm as Amy Schumer, who has reportedly gotten 12 or 13 million bucks for her specials.
Right.
Dave Chappelle, who got, I think, 20. She didn't mention Chris Rock, but he got about the same as Dave, allegedly.
Right.
And the $500,000 number was a slap in her face. She's since been on a press and Instagram junket talking about this shit.
Instagram junket.
And Periscope.
And she wants us all to boycott Netflix.
Get
the fuck out of here.
This is my thing. And I've said this on the Twitter and everything. At the end of the day, it comes down to the algorithm that Netflix knows that the people are going to follow the most is how hot you are at that time.
Yes.
Now, Amy Schumer, love or hate her, I'm not saying if I...
She's a draw.
She's a draw. She sold out Madison Square Garden.
She can open major films.
Major films. She did, you know, had a huge Apollo special on HBO. She's done, you know, she had a book. She's in a play now, a Broadway play, I think written and directed by Steve Martin.
Okay.
Starring in that. Like, she's done doing big shit. I'm not saying she's the greatest or
not. Right. She's not that funny. But whatever. She does numbers. She's popping.
Dave Chappelle, we didn't have to get into what he's done. This nigga sold out Radio City for like a month.
For like a straight month.
Literally for a month in the summer.
Right.
Like, people went to see the show like multiple times. Right. Different guest artists.
Couldn't get no tickets.
Yeah. He just, you know, his Saturday Night Live show where he hosted, that was phenomenal. He's done a lot of shit.
Right.
Monique? And Monique has done things, but the last thing she did Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, of real consequence was Precious.
Well, I mean, she did the Bessie movie got a lot of.
Oh, and the Bessie movie, yes.
But the Bessie movie was the first thing.
But that was, she wasn't the star of that, though. That was a Latifah.
She was right. She was a supporting. She was really good.
She was. No, she's very talented.
She's great. And yeah. I mean, but what happened was, I mean, Monique's showing her ass now. But, and I was saying this when we went text message earlier. I vividly remember during award season for Precious, there being some controversy because. You know, there's a lot of politics involved in this. And award season is exhausting, right? It's like every weekend.
A lot of press junkets and parties.
You know, it opens with Golden Globes, and then there's the SAG Awards, mm-hmm. and then there's this one, and then there's the foreign, you know, the whatever.
The foreign press.
Yeah, the you know, and then there's the fucking...
And the parties and the dinners and the other shit.
And the dinners mm-hmm. and whatever the studios
going to some producer's crib for some private parties.
And whatever the studios are going to promote because it is a campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. It is
absolutely a campaign because you are trying to get your peers and in the industry or the press or the whoever it is to fucking vote for your movie
mm-hmm.
and to vote for your performance. And she wouldn't.
She didn't do anything.
She wouldn't do it. And she was still winning everything, so I guess she figured she didn't have to do it. But she didn't play the game. And she was vocal about the fact that she was like, I'm not doing this shit. They want me to do... And then I think it was only coming from her. I don't even think we knew there was some shit going on.
Until and if I remember correctly...
They want me to do X, Y,
and Z. She also tried to get Gabrielle Sidibe to not do shit.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I remember her being like, babe, you ain't got to do all that. Like, fuck that. Because
Gabby was everywhere.
Exactly.
She was all over the place.
She was going hard.
And Mo won her shit, and... But quite frankly, I think the only thing I can remember Mo having done in conjunction with the Oscars after that was that she announced the nominees the next year.
Okay.
But she hasn't come back to present. Every winner comes back the following year to present.
Yeah.
She has not been back to present. I have not seen her at another show.
Nope.
I have not seen her at any other award shows. And again, the next thing she did was Bessie. So she has created this narrative that she's been blackballed. And there's a difference in being blackballed and people not wanting to work with you because you have a horrible attitude.
Yeah.
And Mo won for a dramatic role, granted. So it's not even a guarantee that you're going to be like, you can carry a whole nother vehicle mm-hmm. because Precious was so specific, right? And it was Mo's first role,
mm-hmm.
kind of like that. And, you know, she hasn't, to you guys' point, I mean, and even her show on BET, like, they ended up canceling the show because she was too difficult. Yeah, like, she had this reputation.
It's always her and her husband causing some bullshit.
Right, so right when she was on the Apex, you got a show, which we were all really excited about because we thought it was like, okay, we got the Arsenio look back. You know, she got the show, she got this look. And right at the Apex, like, she started acting the ass. And so now people are like, difficult. Your husband's difficult.
Yep.
We don't want to do it. And she's making it worse every time she's out there. Like, they blackball me. They don't want to work with me. Kiss my ass. Suck because
that's
dick,
my thing. My thing is also like, okay, even if you have been blackballed, okay, we'll say you have.
Mm-hmm.
You go in public every time something doesn't go your way or you're not happy with it.
Nobody want to do any business.
Nobody wants to ever work with you again. It's like, why would I take a chance and put a special on with you if for some reason you don't like the way it's promoted? Well, you're going to go back on Sway and the Breakfast Club and shit.
Not even that. Like, there's a level of...
It's not professional.
I was going to say, there's a level of discretion that is expected in negotiating, right? Like, and no one is going to want to negotiate with you if they think that at any point, everything they've said
is public.
Is public,
right? Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't, it, 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 you know, it just doesn't work that way.
And she'd be, not to cut you off, but she'd be actually, she'd be like naming names.
That
she'd
was like, my
so
point.
We was in a meeting, she named, and the head of programming, Keith Johnson, said to me and my husband, I'm only going to give you this. You can take it or leave it. And I said to him, it's like she giving the whole conversation.
Well, let me say, first off, I think Monique is talented. And
she
I think she has a very specific talent.
Okay.
Look, the reality is that all of this shit is about not just your accolades. You cannot conveniently make arguments leaving out other things, right?
So, a lot so of
for
shit.
Example, she says, hey, you know, Amy Schumer got this money, right? Mm-hmm. And she got this money in 2016 or whatever, mm-hmm. or 2017, and then she had Snatched was the movie that she referred to.
Yeah.
And she said Snatched made $42 million. It was it wasn't a good movie mm-hmm. in the United States. And she was like, I was in Almost Christmas, and that movie made basically the same amount, right?
With a $17 million budget.
Right.
Except she conveniently leaves out that there was another $15 million that Snatch made internationally as compared to the $400,000 that Almost Christmas made internationally.
And I saw that argument, to back your point up, and Almost Christmas was an ensemble cast. It wasn't just your movie.
That's
it was like 10 people in that.
That's not even the kicker. That's not even the kicker. The kicker here is Amy Schumer got that deal coming off the heels of Trainwreck, which was $160 million rom-com.
Huge.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that momentum, that train was out the station with Amy Schumer. You mm-hmm. could, she had done covers of magazines. She was moving the needle. People refer to people like Adam Sandler, right? Mm-hmm. And things like Netflix give them all this money. Yo, my nigga, Adam Sandler, do you know the hours that Adam Sandler has moved the needle on Netflix? 500 million hours.
Yeah. Really?
Listen to me.
What trash content?
500 million hours from the 100 million plus subscribers of Netflix. They have watched 500 million hours
of Adam Sandler shit.
Of Adam Sandler, my nigga. Right. Okay? So understand, when they come to you, they're coming to you. And also, too, let me just say this. You pitching a project to someone, or them coming to you to ask you to do something, is two totally different levels of leverage.
Right. And we don't know which it was.
And we don't know which is which.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay? So to me, I'm saying to myself, well, you know, I'm thinking, well, why would they even go to Netflix? Why would they not just tape? You know, why would they not just invest into taping her stand-up?
Yeah, themselves.
And then selling it. Yeah. Or licensing it. Or,
yeah, why you know what I'm saying? Asking Netflix for the money to put it together?
When you guys see these comedy specials, they have already worked this material.
Yeah.
This is sort of the end of the road of the material.
Exactly.
The people who saw it live know these jokes already.
The new Chappelle's were from the summer.
That's my point, right? Like, so he's already worked those mm-hmm. muscles out. Now, she conflates issues here. The other thing, let me just say, she has there's an argument to be made.
There is.
There's an argument to be made about the disparity and dearth of opportunities that Netflix has for specifically Black women.
Right. Yes.
I agree.
I did a little bit of research. So between January of 15 and September of 2017, it was 78 Netflix comedy specials.
Damn, 78
in
2 years.
78, right?
A lot.
Dude, out of all 78, zero are for Black women. There is not one Black woman that has had a special. Now, I could probably go further back, and I'm sure that number would not change, and it would probably increase, right?
But not by much.
And then you had like 10 had gone to like white women. I think 11 had gone to Black men. Mm-hmm. That's including the Chappelle's and all of that.
Dudes.
There was nine that went to, I would say, men of color, Hispanics, Indians, things like that. There's an argument to be made.
Right.
The problem is that she is leveraging this argument when it is only about her.
Yeah.
Right.
only about her. Yeah. She did not
like, boycott Netflix because of me.
Because of me. Yeah. And she is, and ultimately it's piss poor messaging because ultimately what you're saying, people, first of all, people are cutting the cord.
Yeah.
There are lots of people who depend on Netflix for their content outside of their local channels.
Right.
Okay. And you're telling people to, you're telling someone who makes 40K a year busting their ass to not watch their $11 streaming service because you didn't want to get out of bed for $500,000. Because that's what they hear.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about your nuances. Right. Your nuances are not registering to dude who worked 4 to 12.
You walked away from $500,000.
You walked away from $500,000, right? Now, she has absolutely every right to feel she should get, she should feel she got, she wants to get paid $100 million. That's fine, right? What you want to get paid and what you're able to negotiate is two different things. Right. And they have done this sort of time and time again. Wanda Sykes came on and said, yo, they offered me less money.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I went and figured it out.
Yeah, got a special somewhere
else.
Yeah.
And more importantly too, like when you cannot make, that is such an extreme statement to make when you really don't have all of the facts. Like we don't know the nuances of this deal.
Right.
You don't know how Netflix makes the algorithm. Now, do accolades really matter? I'm sure they have a small part in it.
But you're not hot.
And you're not
man's
moving.
Not hot.
You're not
man's
moving.
Not hot.
You're not moving the needle like
that. Not even in the black world.
I know.
You ain't a little bit
listen,
hot.
Listen, like I said to you guys over text, when I looked at the dates, when I looked at the dates that she was doing, she's basically doing comedy venues, comedy room venues, mm-hmm. Carolines, improvs, places like that. Two shows a night, 7 and 9:30.
Yeah.
Like, my nigga Kat is selling out arenas.
Yeah.
On multiple nights in major cities. It ain't like the nigga's
While starting fights and getting arrested and being on crack.
All the time. So. Right. So. I just think that it's really tricky. I think that to try to compare yourself to those folks is a little disingenuous. And I think that, like, to me, if you telling me they gave Cedric the Entertainer $10 million for his shit, you got an argument.
Yeah.
Right? You got an argument. Because to me, I would consider them more of an apples to apples comparison than I would consider her and Dave
or her and Amy
at the time, right? Or her and Chris, right? Okay. Chris and Dave, to me, you're basically averaging 6 points on the team. You're needed, but you want to be paid like Mike and Kobe.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
It's not happening, B.
At all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Even if your 6 points, won us the game.
It's just not happening.
Yeah.
And time again, she has proven to be a very cantankerous and surly person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what we do is she uses the awards as the leverage, except the awards don't really matter here. And we forget the fact that those awards are now 11 years old. And those awards are for one character that you played 9-10 years ago. Like, guys, like, we're not, like, you're not even in the social media sphere.
Yeah.
No.
Right? Like, if you took someone, if you said, yo, go find.
She got, like, 20 million followers on the gram.
Go find someone's clout. Go find someone's clout. Like, take all of their social media, what they could do access to. She's not even fucking with a nigga like Plies.
Right,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she doesn't do social media. She doesn't do any of those things. And again, she only sort of becomes vocal when it is only specifically about her money.
Like, she wanted all black people to boycott Netflix because they did Monique.
It makes the argument disingenuous. She said nothing about Tiffany Haddish being shut out of Girl Strip.
Yeah. Right.
She never mentioned any of that.
That's
right.
True.
She never mentioned. That's my point, man. Like, you can't wave the banner of equality only when you the one that's got to go to the fucking back of the bus.
The other thing she said about Tiffany, which blew me, was she said on Sway's show, baby, Sway, brother Sway, if I would have took that $500,000, you know what that is? That's a benchmark. And so, well, if I took that $500,000, what would they offer Sister Tiffany? I'm like, hold on, Tiffany Haddish just host SNL and just announce the Oscars this morning. I think she's going to get more than you.
And
your benchmark is not going to be her benchmark.
She had a Showtime special. Yeah. Like people, like
this. And was in a $100 million movie. Like, they're not going to offer Tiffany less than you.
Right.
And I think that she is. I think she has. I think she's a good person in her heart because I honestly think she believes everything she says.
Yeah.
And I think that she has been insulated. She has, whatever their relationship is, seems very insulated.
Yeah.
Like it's only them.
Like she probably
it's only her and that husband. Yeah. And what happens in cases like that is you don't really have any sort of outside objectivity.
Yeah.
And you don't really, you know, you're not able to sort of go out here and really get information. And it's also, you know, I see people talk about the husband and, you know, he's not competent. I mean, listen, you know, whether or not he's competent can be debatable, right? Because we know that she's a strong personality. So who's to say that she's not saying,
she's not drawing the line on him
and he's just sitting there negotiating.
Yeah.
But when she said that the guy from Netflix wouldn't even get on the phone with them, well, yeah, that's I gave you my first and final.
Right. Like what we like, talking
like
about?
First and like understand something, man. Like no one's executives. They're not getting on the phone to debate and go back and haggle with you. This ain't the Lancy Street, my nigga. This is not. That's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Right. What normally would happen in this case is that if that was the first offer that you got, right, you and your attorneys, you confer, hey, the agents, hey, what's been kind of the going rate? What's out there? What other opportunities are there? Mm-hmm. Where can we take this? Where can this live? How can we drum up some? Maybe we take a step back, you know, do some things and then regroup 6 months later and maybe that number is different. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Right. But did you even have that conversation or did you just take it as a slap in the face?
Fuck them. I'm out.
You just took it as a slap in the face and then that was it. Well, I mean, to be perfectly fair and to be perfectly honest, Netflix doesn't need you to do a special, right? Like you need their platform.
They probably have 100.
They have 100 million people that subscribe to their streaming service. Now, if you wanted to go, you say, hey, you know, Netflix doesn't, you don't want to pay me what I think I'm worth. I'm going to go to Google's platform. I'll go to Facebook's platform. I'll go to Amazon's platform, Hulu. There's a ton of services out here. I'll put the shit on YouTube and run my own special, make you buy it for $3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different avenues, but it's just like, you have this platform and I'm going to dictate to you how you need to run your business.
Because that's my other thing. Like, I don't know what the end game is here, because obviously Netflix is not going to cave because they said they don't need her. So now Netflix is out of the Monique business.
Completely. I would not be surprised or shock me in the least that all of her shit is pulled within the next few months. It would not shock me.
Yeah, because they just might be like, "Yo, fuck."
Now
I don't know how much of her stuff would be on Netflix.
But well, let me. I was just getting ready to say. Now you have a few movies. You have a few movies that she's on.
Was she in Soul?
I don't know.
I think she was in there real quick. But those sorts of but it sounds to me that a part of their algorithm is going in to see what people are watching with you in it.
But Netflix doesn't. Here's the thing, though. Netflix ain't got no good black movies on it. They got janky shit.
Ain't no Boomerang
ain't on there. Love Jones ain't on there.
Love Jones trash.
Anyway. Shut up. Anyway, Five Heartbeats is on there.
But none of
what we consider the classic black movies. I think there was one, but I can't remember which one it was. Like, What's Love Got to Do With It ain't on there.
If you wanna,
so they don't even got good black movies on the shit.
Well, that's because, you know, that's also about the licensing, right? Like, if they're able to go out here and they probably have to sign some sort of exclusivity to Netflix, they can't sell it to cable, you know. What's Love Got to Do With It be on cable every other day.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to get your good black movie fix, you know, your old black movie,
go to Brown Sugar. Like, that just may not be...
It's not a big part of their business.
A big part of the business, right. I mean, and even some of the really outstanding black programming they have is like, chewing gum is British.
And the other thing is, too, is I do think that they have to... I think that this is an opportunity for them to smartly and proactively address,
Netflix.
Yes, a Netflix to address the fact that they don't have the opportunities for Black women there.
Yeah.
That's just flat out and true. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. There is an argument to be made.
She just played it wrong.
She played it wrong and she made it about herself and not about the grand. Listen, Black folks can get behind someone laying out the facts that we are not getting the opportunities that we desire. Because you know what? Earl that worked for the 12, he can relate to that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because he know Ezra. Ezra done got bumped up before him. He's missed out on this, so they changed the date on the test.
Bruce became a foreman. He started after me.
All of that shit. Yeah. We can absolutely relate to not having the opportunities and not playing and not being on a fair playing field. But it is very difficult to tell someone, yo, you know, I didn't want to. And to me, listen, clearly, if you ain't hurt, if 500,000 don't make you get out the bed,
you good.
You ain't missing no meals.
You're good.
Straight.
Yeah,
I would assume.
Yeah.
I would you motherfucking assume.
Man, then you good to go.
Come on, man.
So, I mean, God bless Monique. You know, again, she's very talented. I enjoy her acting and, you know, she's funny as shit.
I love her when she's in movies. That was she's like a supporting actress.
Yeah.
She's on screen, you know, for a decent amount of time, but she's not the star of the vehicle.
She's good.
She's great.
Like, she was funny in This Christmas.
This Christmas.
No, not, what was
Almost
it?
Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah. Almost Christmas. Was she recent? Was funny.
Yeah,
yeah, was Almost Christmas.
She was
great. Roscoe Jenkins. She was great.
I liked her when she was on Family Feud. You see, she's on Family Feud?
I haven't seen that
when
one.
They did that for they, the Almost Christmas, the some of the cast was on Family Feud. That's another movie's cast.
Okay.
And that's her and Steve's going back and forth, and her and, what's the boy, DC Fly?
Yeah.
He played her son in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was amazing, like, hilarious, like, crying.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. I think she, you know, I think she excels in those spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And people who excel in those spaces aren't. I'm not a fan of her stand-up.
Right.
I think she's funny.
I used to be,
but
like,
I'm not a fan of her stand-up.
Around Queens of Comedy era.
Okay.
But I think there's only so, but also like my, what I used to find funny 10 years ago.
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's just not, especially, no offense to Black comedians. I'm not saying we can't be smart, but that BET Comic View level. Yeah.
Women be shopping!
Women be shopping! Yeah. You know, like, that
I
shit.
I like me a big girl.
Yeah. That shit just is not. That shit just is not that funny anymore, right?
Little white guy. He don't know what's going on.
Like, oh my God, nigga. The 400 niggas have told this joke. Little white guy, you don't know what's happening right there, dude. It's okay, white man.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen Monique in stand-up in a long time, but I've seen her air some clips. And aside from her, like,
she kind of goes back and forth with the audience. Exactly.
Yeah, like, I don't really
know. It seems like it's more about her in the audience going off with somebody in the audience as opposed to her doing an actual special.
Right, but it's...
I wish you well, Monique, because it's going to be tough for you.
I don't think she's, and that's what I'm saying. I honestly don't think she's, I don't want to say conscious, but I don't think she really, I think she believes all of that
shit. And you
shit.
Don't think, she don't understand the hole that she's digging, how deep it's going to go.
And I wonder, like, does she and just doesn't care?
Maybe,
right? Like,
she's shitting on Netflix, but you know, on the past.
I mean, dude,
she shit on Oprah.
She told Oprah, Tyler, and Lee Daniels to suck a dick.
But also, she shit on them. It feels like the premise of her being mad at them is the fact that none of them personally called her to say, Monique, I'm going to give you a job.
Or
they're supposed to be looking out for me. Like, Oprah, like, why? Like, why? I mean, I get it. Black people support Black people.
Mm.
It's a whole shit ton.
She made it.
Of Black actors, actresses, producers, and everything out here that Tyler is taking care of. That Oprah's taking care of on different
to
levels.
To that point, I saw an interesting thing.
I don't know about Steve.
But I saw an interesting thing about Tyler that Taraji said. She said that when she did Benjamin Button, she got barely six figures to do that movie, which she was Oscar nominated. And she had to pay her own location fees out of her salary.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, I got fucked off while Brad and I forget the white guy was in the movie, made millions. But what ended up happening was she ended up doing another movie later that Brad produced and made some paper. And she said that
she was the on first, leading roles with Tyler.
The first person to give her a real check was Tyler. Right. She said, when she did I Can Do Bad by Myself, she was like, that was the first time I got paid properly as an actress, like a real salary.
Right.
And that put my quote up because from that now I went from that, whatever she got paid in Benjamin Buttons to a real actress's salary. So she's like, yo, like Tyler looked out.
And can I add one last thing? I find the silence of her peers deafening.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, only Wanda's the only one that said something.
And didn't exactly come to her aid.
She was just kind of like, there's another way,
basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that I was going to say the other part of this argument is that this really should have been galvanized within the comic community.
Yeah.
Right.
Saying, yo, we're not getting these opportunities.
Yeah.
So Dave, Chris, you guys are wielding the power.
Yeah. Like, talk to the folks up there.
Yeah. Like, because again, it's not, if it's not about me, if it's about the collective, then yo, Chris, you produced Amy Schumer shit. What's up with Tiffany?
Yeah.
Right.
Why, you know, like there's another up and coming girl that we see at the club, you know, that,
yeah.
Because when I first saw Gerard Carmichael, long before his show, he had a special on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's before he got his teeth fixed and all that good shit. And I was like, who the fuck is this kid? And they filmed this shit was in like this. It couldn't have been more than 30 people in that comedy club. Wow. And I know them drinks was watered down. I've seen that comedy club before, right? But my, you know, like that's an opportunity.
Exactly.
Like finding those opportunities, ushering, like to me, she doesn't have a history of ushering in people pulling people up or saying, yo, and listen, I don't know what she does behind the scenes. So I don't want to throw a blanket statement on her, but everything that is on the surface is very much about her and her feelings and her ego and her pockets and what she wants to be paid or deserves to be paid.
Yeah. Like, I feel like her and, what's homegirl's name from the Parkers? The little one.
Oh,
Countess Vaughn.
Yeah, I feel like her and Countess didn't kinda fuck similar with each other. No, I feel like, didn't they not fuck with each other after the show?
Maybe not, because they don't never talk about each other now.
Ever. I feel like they did. I mean, but
even
you're right.
even Penny and Malona got back together last year.
Yeah, I feel like her and Countess don't fuck with each other. We all, I mean, she didn't do any other TV sitcoms after that. And of course, her show, like, she was, you know, impossible to deal with on her show.
You know what would be dope for her? And then we're going to wrap it up after this. I mean, if she could see the forest for the trees, she should get with some writers and actually almost do like almost like a Curb Your Enthusiasm type show about her being mad all the time, but make it funny. Like, she just keeps getting these situations and like fucking them up.
The show, did you ever watch the show Christy Alley had that was like a pseudo reality show for a while, but it was scripted?
Yeah.
But it was about her trying to get back, trying to act like an A-list actress. Exactly. Like that type of shit. Yeah,
what's it called? I had one like that too, Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually really funny.
Was that My Life on the D-List?
Some shit like that. Yeah, she should like take this and run with it now. That's your character.
Right.
You always get into some shit, you're great at it, and you piss somebody off, and your husband's fucking up, and you lose it, but then, you know, like this. But I don't know, she you know, yeah, baby, you know, baby, I don't want to play games like that. I ain't out here to dance for these white folk, you know. I don't know.
Like, if she had her shit together, most should be on Empire right now, real talk.
Easily.
Like.
Easily. Perfect. Easily. So. Yeah. Well, that's it. We're going to wrap it up.
More power to you, girl.
Good luck to everybody at the Grammys on Sunday. We'll be discussing that next week. And we're going to wrap it up.
Later.
See y'all later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.